Dhritarashtra must have been very glad to understand that Arjuna was not going to fight and was instead leaving the battlefield for the begging profession. But Sanjay disappointed him again in relating that Arjuna was competent to kill his enemies, Parantapaha. Although Arjuna was for the time being overwhelmed with false grief due to family affection, he surrendered unto Krishna, the supreme spiritual master, as a disciple. This indicated that he would soon be free from the false lamentation resulting from family affection and would be enlightened with perfect knowledge of self-realization or Krishna consciousness and would then surely fight. Thus, Dhritarashtra's joy would be frustrated since Arjuna would be enlightened by Krishna and would fight to the Sanjaya Uvacha evam uktva hrishikesham gura kesha parantapaha nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushnim babhubaha. Sanjay said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent. Arjuna here is speaking quite emphatically. Emphatically means that he's speaking very strongly, giving great stress like this. Nayotsya, I shall not fight, he says. But just after this, we'll find that Arjuna changes his mood and says, well, actually, I'm confused. He says, he appears as if he's very clear, I won't fight. But then, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Should I fight or should I not fight? And though he's speaking as if he knows what he's talking about now, I shall not fight, he ends up fighting. Now, why did Arjuna say, Nayotsya, I shall not fight? He gave various reasons to Krishna why he should not fight. And though he's speaking as if he knows what he's talking about now, I shall not fight, he ends up fighting. Relatives, even if they're inimical to us, why should we be inimical to them? It seems to me it would be better to just, even if they attack us, not to resist them, rather than to fight with our... Even if they're wrong, why should we be wrong? This is Arjuna's proposition. And then he says that, well, we're only fighting so that we can get the kingdom, but then if our relatives are dead, then what enjoyment shall we get from the kingdom? And what's more, our gurujan, our seniors, our gurus are on the other party. How can we attack our gurus? One should be always serving the guru, not attacking the guru. That I learned. And what's more, our gurujan, our seniors, our gurus are on the other party. How can we attack our gurus? One should be always serving the guru, not attacking the guru. That I learned how to fight from Dronacharya and I shall use that to attack him, that knowledge that he gave me. Drona and Bhishma have given us so much affection throughout all our lives. And Bhishma has always protected us. He's always been so affectionate to us. And now we shall attack him and kill him? Is this right? This will not lead to the heavenly planets, but this will lead to a kirti. This will lead to infamy. We shall have to go to hell for this. And if we engage in this ghastly warfare, then all the men will be killed and the women will be left unprotected. Excuse me, if you do this, it makes me feel that no one has any interest in what I'm saying. So I need some encouragement also. And if women are unprotected, then they'll be exploited by bad men. So man and woman unite for producing progeny. If that is done according to dharma, then the children who are produced, they will uphold society. But if simply out of lust, man and woman unite, then there will be Varna Sankara, or unwanted children. So Arjuna was concerned that if the protectors of dharma, all the kshatriyas, are killed, as was likely to happen in this battle, women would be unprotected, they would be exploited by bad men, and the result would be that society would be filled with Varna Sankara, which would be a disaster for human society. Because if children are born, if they're not dharmic, then they'll simply be interested in exploiting others and cheating, and there'll be all the wrong, the whole disaster in human society by lack of character in its members. So Arjuna's reasons for not wanting to fight all seem to be very good. Some of them are better than others. Some of Arjuna's reasons are better than others. Not wanting to attack one's gurus or one's own kinsmen. This is a very good reason. That women will be unprotected. It's a very important consideration. That we won't be able to enjoy the kingdom. That's not such a good reason. But on the whole, Arjuna has made a very strong case why he should not fight. And if we consider from the ordinary point of view, Arjuna is being very reasonable. However, Arjuna, after saying, "Na yotsya," I shall not fight, we see he's actually not sure about it himself. It would certainly be a very dramatic scene if after so much build-up, so many years of tension, and then finally the battle is called, all the armies come, and the star player, Arjuna, it's like you arrange all the cast for this movie shooting, and just when they're about to shoot the movie, the star says, "Oh, I'm not gonna." He walks out. So like that, something like that. Although much more meaningful than a movie. Or maybe something like the World Cup cricket final, India versus Pakistan, and the main batsman, he walks onto the pitch and then he says, "I'm not going to play," and walks off. Something like that, but much more significance, Arjuna's situation. So Arjuna's reasons sound very good, but at the same time he's thinking that, well, not everyone's going to agree with this, and I'm not sure, am I doing the right thing or not? And Krishna addressed Arjuna's uncertainty. Ashochananda socha strong pragya vadhans chabhashasa gatasuna gatasums nanu sochandi pandita. He says that you're speaking like a big pundit, but pundits don't talk like this. You're a fool, Krishna told Arjuna. Those who are pundits, they do not lament for the body, for that which is anyway certain to perish. So Arjuna was speaking very reasonably, but what seemed to be very reasonably, but Krishna just cut his so-called reasonableness to pieces. And Krishna gave various reasons for this. All of the points that Arjuna gave, Krishna addressed them all. That even relatives or even gurus, if they take the side or cut his so-called reasonableness to pieces. And Krishna gave various reasons for this. All of the points that Arjuna gave, Krishna addressed them all. That even relatives or even gurus, if they take the side of adharma, then they cannot be, compassion cannot be extended to them. And you're thinking that we shall not go to the heavenly planets if we kill our gurus, but by running away from the battlefield, you shall go to hell. Not by fighting on it. By fighting on the battlefield, you shall go to heaven. He addressed Arjuna's prastavam, his proposal, in this way. Now, Krishna didn't directly address Arjuna's fear of women being unprotected. But Krishna's main argument for why Arjuna should fight was based on a higher understanding of reality. That instead of seeing in terms of the body and in terms, even in terms of enjoyment in the heavenly planets, we should understand our eternal position as Atma, and the Atma is subservient to Bhagavan, who is Krishna himself speaking to Arjuna. And that it is Krishna's desire that this battle be fought. So Arjuna, as the servant of Krishna, should do what Krishna wants him to do, even if it is not what Arjuna himself wants to do. So Krishna takes the discussion to a whole different platform. He addresses Arjuna's doubts on that level, but then he brings the whole discussion to a higher level that we have to understand, not simply in terms of this temporary material existence, but that we are all eternal spirit souls and we have to act according to Krishna's direction. So Arjuna was being very reasonable. He gave reasonable arguments to Krishna. This is something we often hear when we're discussing with people. You should be reasonable. How do they say something like that in Tamil? Is there any such word in Tamil? It doesn't exactly mean the same thing. Bangla ki bole, reasonable kono shabda nei mone. Ah, shei rokom kintu oi ingrejite yo arta ja ache to bangla e to ashe na. So it's interesting that we have the word reasonable in English, but we don't have it in Indian languages. We can say some word. What are you saying in Bengali? Jukti? Jukti Shangata. That means that we should bring some discussion and try to understand it. Jukti also means by logic or discussion. And in Tamil it's Nyai. Yeah, it means the same thing, according to Nyai. But we don't have the exact meaning doesn't come through. Now, language and culture and the whole way of thinking, they're all intimately connected. Now this concept of being reasonable, as is in the English language, it doesn't come in Tamil or Sanskritum or Bengali or Indian languages, because there's a different approach to life. That reasonable, this idea is there, that you should act in such a way that is conducive to what we think is beneficial for the mutual sense enjoyment of everybody else. Now we can say there's a similar concept in Bharatiya Kalacha, in Indian culture, but the key word is dharma. We should act according to dharma. And Arjuna's arguments are on the basis of dharma. But then, actually Bhagavad Gita is a discussion of dharma. Arjuna said, dharma samudha cheta. I'm confused about what is my dharma, what is my duty. So Krishna is establishing to Arjuna that we have dharma on the worldly platform, but higher is the spiritual platform. That is our actual dharma. Even what we call worldly dharma, that transcends the concepts of reasonableness. If we say yukti or nyai, if that's based on you should act in a way that is not only conducive to your sense gratification, but to my sense gratification also. That is not the actual meaning of dharma. That is something quite different. Dharma is based on sarve sukhino bhavantu. Everyone should be happy. Bhavantu. Bhavanti by Krishna consciousness. But bhavantu means in general. Let there be happiness for all. Then that has to be understood that one can only be happy by Krishna consciousness. Now, dharma is ati sukshmam. It's very subtle. Because what may appear to be good actually may not be good. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave an example that when he was living as a grihastha in Calcutta, in the next house, he heard one time that the mother is shouting and the child is screaming. It sounds like the mother is severely chastising her son. So they had their system of intelligence gathering. Prabhupada sent his servant to ask the servant in the next house what's going on. So the servant came back with the information that the boy who's being punished, his elder brother has typhoid. So in typhoid, solid food is forbidden. But parathas were being cooked in the house. And the elder son asked his younger brother, "You get me some paratha." So it was a secret pact, but the mother found out that the younger son had given some paratha to the older brother. So she was so angry out of love for her son, because he knows that if he eats this, it's very dangerous, that she was beating the younger son and shouting at him very severe, and he was crying, "Ah!" So he was saying, "What did I do wrong? My older brother is very hungry, and he asked me to get some paratha, and I'm supposed to serve my older brother. I did everything with very good intention, and the result is I'm getting beaten with the broom." So it seemed that what he was doing is very reasonable and good, but because he doesn't understand, he doesn't have a deeper understanding, therefore it results in beating. So like that, there are many subtle laws of nature. If we act simply according to what seems to be good for us, we may actually be doing things which are not at all good for us. Due to ignorance of the laws of the universe, we may be creating so much suffering for ourselves when we think we're making happiness. Just like, for instance, one person whose name means an ocean of mercy, he recently got reinstated as the chief minister of a certain state in India on the promise of giving children two eggs instead of one. Now it seems that that's very good. The children, I don't know how little children are supposed to eat two eggs at one time, but that's supposed to make them very big and strong, and then they can win the world boxing championships or something like that. In Tamil, for egg, anda, you were saying. Oh, I heard you say anda. In North India, you hear as you go on the station on the train, anda, anda, boiled egg, anda, boiled dim in Bengali. So anyway, you have to translate that. So they think this is very good. But the result is the whole of Tamil Nadu will go to hell. Anyway, it's going, but it will go more. Because it is sinful. It is tamasic aha. That will jaganya guna vritti so adhoga chanti tamasaha. Those who act in the mode of ignorance, they go down to the hellish world. So there are many things like that which may seem to be good. They have what seems to be an immediate good effect, but because it is against the injunction of Shastra, it actually creates so much suffering. In India, there's abortion is fully socially acceptable. And people, a few years ago, one man, he was brought to see me. He was introduced to me. This is our New Life member. He's from Vallabh Sampradaya, Vaishnav Sampradaya, and he's a doctor. So I said, what line are you in? He said, gynecology. Gynecology. The Tamil word is gynecology. Gynecology means the medical treatment of pregnant women and all this kind of thing. What if it's on? Pore ami ektu hat dui jol mane. Pore ektu khabo. So I asked the gynecology. That means you're doing abortions, isn't it? Mostly gynecologists means abortion wala. He said, yes, I run an abortion clinic. I said, well, you're from Vaishnav Sampradaya. Don't you know this is sinful? He said, no, we're helping people. There are so many people, they already have 2 children. They don't want any more. And it'd be a big burden on the family. So it's good. It's helping to control the population. So it seems to be very good, controlling the population, helping the poor family. But the long-term result is that one has to suffer very severe karmic reactions. So by acting in a way which seems to be good for our sense gratification, not understanding the subtle implications as described in Shastra, we are actually creating tremendous suffering. As Lord Krishna states later in Bhagavad Gita, that only the asuric vritti, the demoniac people, they act without consulting Shastra. Ya Shastra vidimutsrija vartate kamakarataha nasasiddhim abhapnoti nasukam naparangatim. Those who act without consulting Shastra, they act according to what they think is right. He's describing such people. Krishna says, Nasa Siddhim Abhapnoti. Such people do not achieve perfection. They do not become happy. Nasukam. Naparam Gatim. They do not attain the supreme perfection. They do not the supreme destination. So the whole modern civilization is based on immediate sense gratification. And it seems that this makes sense. We shall be happy. But even on the mundane, even on the material platform, happiness doesn't come from gross sense gratification. Just like we see that previously in Indian culture, the men and the women, they had different roles. The women were very subdued. But actually the family life was more or less settled and people were more or less happy in family life. People were happy on the platform that the man should do his duty, the woman should do the duty, and they were serving each other. But nowadays the idea is that happiness comes from go to the water park, get lots of money, drive a motorbike, have a big house, on a gross sense gratification platform. Women should also drive motorbikes and they should dress in such a way that every part of their body is quite clearly revealed. And in this way, it's just for gross sense gratification that we should get pleasure, but no one's happy. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, give up your materialistic way of thinking. You don't know what's good for you. You don't know what's good for others. Child, the young boy bringing the paratha to his eldest brother thought that, well, I'm doing good, but he wasn't. It seemed to him that he was doing good, but the result is disaster. Mm-hmm. It may seem that the mother was very cruel. Why is she beating her son? But then when you understand why, you can understand that, yes, she did properly. She should teach. Even if he doesn't understand why, she should beat him so that he doesn't do it again. And it's hoped that gradually when he gets older, he can understand these things. But even without understanding, he should be punished so that he doesn't do it again. So we are being punished in material existence. We are suffering repeated birth and death. And the attempt to enjoy this situation is the cause of our suffering. Acting for the pleasure of Krishna is the only actual platform of happiness. Krishna is teaching that in Bhagavad Gita, so that we can learn how to act in a manner that is actually conducive for our welfare and for that of others. Now, that young boy if he had refused his elder brother, I won't give you a paratha because you'll get more sick. Then the elder brother would have been angry with him. And that's not nice. You don't want your elder brother to be angry with you. And maybe after he gets healthy, he might beat the younger brother. So either way, he's set up for a beating. So maybe his mother would beat less than the elder brother. So what should he do? Any way we act in this material world, there will be difficulty. Whatever we do, someone won't like it. Whatever you do, someone will criticize. And if you do nothing, then they'll criticize. Why isn't he doing anything? So how should we act? We become bewildered. We should act for the satisfaction of Krishna. And not everyone will like that. And it may seem that, well, I'm taken to this bhakti, but my family members, they don't like it, and maybe I should just do what they want. But we should understand what Krishna wants. To understand that might not be very easy. Arjuna was a highly elevated person. So elevated that Bhagavan himself agreed to serve him as his sarathi. But temporarily, by Bhagavan's wish, he was covered with the illusion of not being able to discriminate properly. So the point was brought out that even Arjuna, he knows what is Shastra, he knows what is Dharma, but still he was confused how to act properly. Oh, one other important point. He knows what is Shastra, he knows what is Dharma, and he has all good intentions. He's not a crooked person. He wishes well for everyone. But Krishna pointed out to Arjuna that the param dharma of serving Krishna, that supersedes all other considerations. So how to understand what is our proper course of action? For that, Arjuna, he submitted himself to Krishna. That you instruct me as guru. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the knowledge by which we can understand why we should act on the highest platform. How to practically apply that in our lives, that we have to take direction from the representatives of Krishna. So Arjuna, who said, "Na yotsye, I shall not fight," he ended up fighting, being convinced that this is the proper thing to do. Even though the gurus will be attacked and killed, even though his family members will be attacked and killed, even though the earth will be left without the kshatriya protection, Krishna has some reason which is higher than all these reasons, and Arjuna is submitting with full faith to Krishna, that you know best, I shall follow you. So he may not always understand why we are doing what we are doing in bhakti. Many times questions come up like, why don't we take the leaves from Tulsi on the Dwadashi day? There are so many questions which we can ask. But we should accept that is in Shastra, and whether we understand or not, that must be correct because it's given by Bhagavan. This worldly reasonableness, we act for the sense gratification of others. That's called being reasonable. You get some amount of sense gratification for yourself and some for others also. This was Arjuna's platform. Krishna rejected it. We should act according to the direction of Krishna. And Krishna's general instruction to everyone is the same. Most important instruction. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru. Always think of me, worship me, bow down to me, offering your obeisances, and be my devotee. So everyone should do this. How exactly we do it will be different. How we apply that practically in our life will be different in every case. Krishna asked Arjuna to fight. He does not ask everyone to fight, but he does ask everyone to surrender at his lotus feet. So that we should do. All right. Okay. And if there are any questions about this, then anyone can ask now. Yeah. The point is that our worldly calculation about what is right and what is wrong, what is reasonable, this is from a very limited vision. And in many, or if not most cases, what we think is the right thing to do may not be right because we don't have a real understanding of what is good for ourselves and for others. I have to speak into the mic so people can hear.
Who can understand from Bhagavad Gita that what are the instructions given to us and what are the instructions given to Arjuna?
What is the difference? Please say in Tamil.
Bhagavad Gita, the Maharaj Sahara, Arjuna and Karjuna, the instructions put the Tanda, and all the things in the instructions put the Tanda.
Upadesham.
Upadesham.
In Tamil. Well, that I said at the end of the class, I made that point that Krishna's general instruction to everyone is manmana bhava mad bhakto, think of him and become his devotee. But for our, how to apply that practically in our lives, for Arjuna that was through the medium of fighting, for others that we have to learn from Guru how to apply that practically in our lives. So, you got lost. That Krishna's general instruction to everyone is to think of him always and become his devotee. In Arjuna's specific situation, Krishna wanted him to fight. That won't be the same for everyone. That was a rare case, actually. But how to apply this principle in our practical lives, we have to learn that from Guru. So that's a common thing. Just like there may be some questions, just like, well, should I go to America? Will that be good for my... I can go there for 2 years, earn some money, and then come back here, and then I can use that money to work less and do bhakti more. This kind of question comes up all the time. But then you have to think that, well, America may not be so good for my spiritual life, so this also has to be considered. So therefore we take advice. This is something very practical. Whether the decision is go to America, don't go to America, go for less time or whatever it is, the principle on which the advice is given is how to help that person execute Krishna's mukhya upadesham of manmana mava madbhakto. Always think of me and become my devotee. And how you can serve the mission of Krishna. What Krishna wants us to do. Just like Arjuna, what did Krishna want him to do? Then he had to do that. Sometimes it happened, some devotee would come to Prabhupada and he was saying, I want to get married. Prabhupada said, you take sannyas. Someone else came and said, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada said, you get married. Once there were two sannyasis in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was speaking to them, his disciples, and he said to one of them, you should never stay in one place more than 3 days. You travel constantly. Why are you staying here in Vrindavan? Go out and preach. And then immediately he turned to the other sannyasi and said, you should never leave Vrindavan. You stay here and manage this temple. So it may appear to be contradictory, but Prabhupada is giving instructions relative to both person's situation and for the need of serving the mission, which is for the highest benefit for both of them and for others, because a sannyasi has to live for the benefit of others. So another important point is that we have to be careful to understand what are general instructions for everybody and which are specific instructions for individuals. That the specific instruction he gave to the two sannyasi was completely opposite. So the instruction he gave to one sannyasi is not necessarily applicable to everybody in all times and all places and all circumstances. Just like Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight, does that mean after reading Bhagavad Gita we should go and get a gun beaver and shoot our guru? That would be a misunderstanding. But after reading we should understand, tameva sharam gacha sarva bhavena bharata. We should take shelter of Krishna in all respects. Hare Krishna. There's much, much more to be said about all these topics. So please come again and hear again. We also have so many wonderful books written by Srila Prabhupada. We now have the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in Tamil. Who has the whole Bhagavatam set in their home in English, Tamil, or whatever language? Not many. Oh, that's not good. You should all have Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, you should have two or three sets. You have extra sets for giving to your friends. No, this is not good. Initiates, devotees who are coming regularly, they must have these books in their home. Otherwise, why Prabhupada translated these books? You are not going to understand bhakti from the Hindu or the Deccan Herald. You have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So, why don't you all get a set of Srimad Bhagavatam in your home? Who agrees to this proposal? You don't have a set? You're agreeing to the proposal. Who doesn't have and is ready to get a set of Bhagavatam? Alright, note. All these devotees should take Srimad Bhagavatam. Who's there? Bookstall? And when you take the book, then of course you have to read it. And once you start reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then you will know what is the difference between the Deccan Herald and the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can be a devotee chanting and coming to the temple, but unless and until you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you won't really understand what is bhakti, what is the bhakti rasa. Who's reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly? There's a difference between before when you weren't reading and now when you are reading. It's night and day difference, isn't it? It's like you weren't even alive before. You feel like that. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the knowledge by which we can practically always think of Krishna. Take the names and then everyone, for your own benefit. You may not understand what is right and what is not, and it may not seem reasonable that I am pushing you to take, but it is on the highest platform for your own greatest benefit, which you cannot imagine until you start to read Srimad Bhagavatam.